The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's say that together. The choice is yours. Now, free will is a person's freedom to choose a course of action in accordance with the ideals and moral outlook of that individual. How many of you recognize that different people have different ideals and different moral standards? Have anybody ever noticed that in the people around you? People have different outlooks on life. People have different ideals. People have different moral outlooks even in their lives. And free will plays into that. It's the freedom of decision or of choice between alternatives. Amen? One alternative or another. And the free will is the capacity to choose between alternatives. Amen? Well, make no mistake about it. Every human being is created by God with a free will. And that free will gives every person the ongoing opportunity throughout their lives to make choices that would affect the outcome of their lives physically and spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
Now, to that very point, the current fallen physical and spiritual state of the world at large, catch this now, is the direct outcome of choices made by Adam and Eve. Talk about long-term consequences. And the Spirit of God is moving upon our hearts today. The Spirit of God moving in our midst today. Learn from somebody else's mistakes. Amen?
Amen.
I hope we learn from our own choices that are mistakes. But learn from somebody else's mistakes. I think that's even better at times. How about you? And before you choose to satisfy yourself in some way or another, think about the long-term consequences of your choices. Spirit of God, come and move upon our hearts. Make no mistake about it. God created mankind in His own image, and that included the ability to choose. Now, naturally speaking, when we make a choice, catch this now, we typically anticipate and expect a certain result. How many of you here with me are in that category? You make a choice, you're anticipating and expecting a certain result. And what we hope will happen may even play a role in deciding the choice that we make. Amen?
Amen.
But some of the results of the choices that we make are predetermined by natural forces, regardless of what alternate result we may have in mind. For example, a person may choose to decide to jump off a building or not to jump off a building. If he chooses to jump off the building, then the results of his choice will be in line with the natural force of gravity. Amen?
Right, that's right.
No matter how much he anticipates or expects to fly.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen. That's right.
So the ability to make a free will choice, the ability to make a free will choice, doesn't mean that whatever we choose is necessarily going to have the result that we had in mind. Necessarily. Sometimes our natural choices don't work out the way we expected. Anybody here with me in that category? The natural choices that I've made over the years haven't always worked out the way I expected. In a similar way, spiritually, a person's free will choice in and of itself cannot cancel the penalty for the sinful nature in and of itself. Be reminded afresh today that a person's righteous choices in and of themselves will not free him from the penalty of sin, no matter how firmly he expects that his righteous choices in and of themselves will get him to heaven. Amen? I know that was a mouthful, but self-righteousness has no reward before the throne of God. Our righteous works don't save us. But rather, our choice to be saved produces truly righteous works through us. Amen?
Amen?
How many of you here with me have experienced some of that since you've chosen Jesus?
Yes.
Truly righteous works.
Yes.
Not religious, self-righteous kinds of things.
Right.
which have no value before the throne of God.
Right.
Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, reminds us along these lines. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, the Apostle Paul speaking to believers of his time, and God by His Spirit speaking to us today, that there is no one who is perfectly righteous in and of themselves. No one. There is no one who always does what is right. How many of you here run across people that always think they're right? Anybody here run across people? Even believers, bless their hearts. They're always right. And you just say, bless your heart. But the Bible tells us, and the Spirit of God is ministering to us, that no one always does what is right. In and of themselves, everyone has done wrong in one way or another. But the good news is that everyone has the free will to choose to accept what God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Every person can choose to accept what God has done for us, to overcome the limitations of our imperfect righteousness through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We can expect our free will choice of Christ, catch this now, to absolutely bring the result of eternal life in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because He's a perfectly faithful God. And He always does what His Word says. Amen?
Amen?
Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 reminds us along these lines that with undeserved kindness, God the Father declares that we are made perfectly righteous in His eyes through Jesus Christ,
amen,
who freed us from the penalty of our sins. Amen?
Amen?
And even further from Romans chapter 6, verse 23, make a note of it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages for our sinful unrighteousness is eternal death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen?
For God the Father loves His created one so much that He gave His one and only Son, so that anyone who makes a choice to believe and trust in Him will not perish, but rather have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
According to John 3:16. Amen?
That's right.
Be reminded afresh today, saints of God, it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes. Amen.
When we preach the gospel, whether it's eloquently or not, it's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. Amen.
Amen.
When I listen to Franklin Graham speak at the rally here at the Lakeview Amphitheater, I thought, well, he's not a very fiery speaker like his dad was. His dad was very fiery. And Franklin was more of a conversational type speaker. But it was the gospel that was the power of God into salvation. Because when he did the altar call, it was the gospel that was the power of God that drew people by God's Spirit to the altar. Hundreds of people. Not because of eloquent speaking.
That's right.
But because of the heart of a man who loves people the way that God loves people.
Yes.
And connected with people in a conversational way. And it was the gospel that was the power of God unto salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And it's for anyone who would hear it and then exercise their free will to choose it. They can absolutely expect the result to be a life that is transformed by the power of God. Amen?
Yes. Amen?
Make no mistake about it. Once we make a choice to align our lives with God through Christ, we will be held accountable before the throne of God for how responsibly we've exercised our free will to make choices in accordance with His Word and in accordance with His will for our lives. We're not off the accountability hook. once we come to Christ. Amen. We're off the penalty for sin hook. Aren't you glad for that?
Right. Yeah.
But we're not off the accountability hook.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Be encouraged afresh today as professed followers of Jesus Christ. We have come into the beloved family of God. And so we not only have the ability to make free will choices, but we also have the responsibility, the responsibility to choose well in the sight of God. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Whatever those alternatives may be, whatever those choices may be in our lives, how well are you choosing in the sight of God? Spirit of God, come and search our hearts. How well am I choosing in the sight of God? Now, in the Old Testament, God's chosen beloved nation as a whole was Israel. But individuals within that nation still carried an obligation to choose obedience to God. Amen?
Amen.
And even individuals outside of the nation of Israel, like Ruth and Rahab, they were able to choose to believe and follow the God of Israel, catch this now, which was a foretelling pattern for the new covenant to come in Christ. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
In the New Testament, sinners are commanded over and over to repent and believe, repent and believe, repent and believe. And so every call to repent is a call to choose. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
And catch this now. This clicked this time around as I was looking into this. The command by God to believe confirms that the hearer has the free will capacity to choose what God's commanding.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Unto the salvation of their soul.
Right. Yes.
Every person has a free will capacity to choose what God is commanding.
Right.
In God's perfectly loving righteousness, catch this now, He would never call us or command us to something if we didn't have the capacity to choose it. Amen?
Yes.
Because He's perfectly loving and perfectly righteous.
Amen.
And we're created in His image. Amen?
Yes.
From John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Jesus identified the problem of some people who had searched the scriptures which ultimately pointed to Him for eternal life, but yet they refused the choice to come to eternal life through Him. They searched the scriptures. They saw that the scriptures were pointing to Jesus as Savior, but yet they exercise their free will to refuse the choice to come to eternal life through Him. Once again, I believe that this confirms that they had the capacity of free will choice to choose Jesus as Savior if they wanted to, but their problem was that they chose not to. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Every person has the free will capacity to choose what God is commanding and calling us to do. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, the Apostle Paul, speaking to believers then, God by His Spirit speaking to us today, reminding us that those who choose to remain outside of the knowledge of God's divine power are without excuse. Without excuse. Let's say that together. Without excuse. Make no mistake about it. God reveals Himself to everyone in some way, shape, or form, but not everyone will choose Him. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many more, relatively speaking, will choose that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Relatively speaking, far fewer will choose that way. And in the last days, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, make a note of it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. And Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, make a note of it. in the last days, some who have professed to choose Christ will then choose to reject Him publicly. If you could imagine that. People will choose reprobate apostasy, and they will reject their faith in Christ rather than maintaining their choice to remain faithful to Him. Sobering point. Apart from Christ, our free will to choose what is truly good is limited by our sinful nature. But in Christ, let's say that together. In Christ, say it again. In Christ, one more time. In Christ, our free will becomes truly free. Amen?
Amen.
Because of the transforming, regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in us, which provides us with the convictions and the confirmations and the grace and the power of God to consistently and progressively choose righteousness and holiness. Amen?
Amen. 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 Yes.
Oh, Holy Spirit, come and move upon our hearts. Search our hearts afresh today. How consistently are we choosing righteousness? Spirit of God, come, move upon our hearts, search our hearts. How progressively are we choosing holiness, publicly and privately? God sees it all. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian church then, God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us today, reminding us that in Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in us, we now have the capacity to consistently choose to throw off our former sinful choices. Amen?
Amen.
And instead to choose to let our thoughts and attitudes be conformed to righteousness and holiness. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We have the added advantage of the Holy Spirit in us now. Amen?
Amen?
Be reminded afresh today that salvation is the work of God in us. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen. Amen.
But make no mistake about it, at the same time, what we choose to set up in our minds by way of our motives and desires and actions, catch this now, is voluntary. Amen?
Amen.
How well are we cooperating
right
with the Holy Spirit and with the conscience that God has put in us? And so what we choose to set up in our minds by way of our motives, desires, and actions is voluntary. And we will rightly be held responsible and accountable for what we have chosen one way or the other.
Amen.
Certainly God is in total sovereign control of all things. And I wondered, how does that play out with our free will? Well, God is in total sovereign control over all things. But yet He gives everyone a choice to be with Him eternally. It's a divine mystery, I think, that's hard to wrap your natural mind around. That in His omniscient, all-knowing foresight, He already knows who will choose Him and who won't. Makes me scratch my head sometimes. How about you? But God is also omnipresent. He is at the beginning of time looking forward, and He is at the end of time looking backward. In other words, He sees you coming and going. Amen. At the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
If that doesn't make you paranoid, I don't know what will. No. He sees you coming and going. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. But catch this now. That doesn't mean that He has predetermined who will choose Him and who won't. Some people believe that in God's righteous judgment, He predestines certain people to hell even before they are born, without any possibility of going to heaven. There's some people that believe that. But I believe that in God's love for every human being that He has created, He is sovereignly allowing and disallowing situations and circumstances in every person's life. In order to maximize the potential for each one to exercise their free will to choose Him. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
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 Aren't you glad for a loving God whose love is unfailing toward us? Amen? Everyone is created with an opportunity to choose. Amen?
Amen?
God's sovereign control over our lives doesn't mean that we are merely puppets on His strings, but rather that He is dealing with us in specific ways to influence us to choose Him without violating the free will that He gave us. Amen?
Yeah.
In our limited human minds, we will never be able to fully understand the dynamics of an unlimited, perfectly holy God molding and shaping the will of man. But we can understand is that He loves us so much. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
He loves us so much that He will do everything in His power to affect our lives in such a way that will influence us to make free will choices that are for our greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for how much God loves you? Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. These verses remind us along these lines how great is God's wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand all of His ways. But yet we can know and we can understand that everything comes from Him. Amen?
Amen?
And that everything exists by His power and is intended for His glory. Amen?
Sure.
All glory be to Him forever and forever and forever. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So all that being said, what are we to do then? It's simpler than it seems. We are to trust in the Lord, knowing that He is in control, and recognizing, catch this now, that God's sovereignty as it relates to our free will is meant to be a comfort to us.
That's right.
Yes. And not an issue to be distressed about.
Yes. Yes.
Or doctrinally divided over.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We are to live our lives making wise decisions that are in accordance with God's Word. We have the Word of God.
Yes.
We have the Spirit of God to guide us. And so there will be no excuse before the throne of God. For since we have a free will, we will have no one to blame but ourselves for our disobedience. How many of you here have been disobedient once or twice since you've come to Christ? Anybody here? Lift an honest hand with me. If you don't lift your hand, watch out. But I get to thinking about it. How much of our eternal rewards will we forfeit by our choices to disobey? Ultimately, we are to offer our lives up to Him as a living sacrifice of praise and worship. Amen?
Amen.
We were created by Him and for His glory. Our lives are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. And we are to offer our lives up to Him as a living sacrifice of praise and worship such that all of our choices will honor Him.
Amen.
For the wonderful grace and mercy that He has so abundantly lavished upon us in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Are you grateful here today?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Bow your heads now and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the Word of the Lord has come to you today.
Yes.